TuneIn, and the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Tomorrow is Election Day. Today, the focus is on the battleground states, including Pennsylvania, Kamala Harris, and Allentown.
We are not going back because ours is a fight for the future.
Donald Trump in Reading.
The ball is in our court. All we have to do is get out and vote, and we walk away with the greatest political event in history, but much more important, it's going to be the event that saves our country.
A Pennsylvania judge has ruled that Elon Musk's $1 million a day voter sweepstakes can continue through tomorrow's election. Pentagon spokesman Pat Ryder says about 60 guardsmen from six states have been activated by their governors for election support. And in D.C.,
Secretary Austin approved a request last week from the District of Columbia for D.C. National Guard troops to support the D.C. Fire and Emergency Medical Services from November 5 through 13.
CBS News Brief. I'm Cammie McCormick.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin has been a popular place lately, especially for visiting politicians. Minnesota First Lady Gwen Walls stopped in Wausau on Saturday to thank volunteers for their work to persuade and turn out voters in the final stretch of the campaign. She talked with around 40 people at the Harris-Walls Coordinated Campaign Field Office in Wausau, saying, "It may sound a little cheesy, but this state is starting to feel like home. But everywhere I go, people are fed up with Donald Trump and fired up for a new way forward." This is Mrs. Walls' eighth visit to Wisconsin since Governor Walls joined the ticket. Governor Tim Walls and Mrs. Gwen Walls will tour the state of Wisconsin again on Monday before heading to Michigan. President Donald Trump has claimed there has been a huge increase in terrorists entering the United States in recent years. But is that true? Here's Tricia Young with the facts.
While speaking in Milwaukee, Donald Trump claimed, quote, "We have had more terrorists come to the United States in the last 3 years than in the last 30 years, unquote. No data supports this. Border agent encounters with individuals on the terrorist watch list have only been tracked since 2017. From 2021 to September 2024, there were 382 encounters compared to 11 from 2017 to 2020. However, these individuals were stopped from entering. I'm Tricia Young for Wisconsin Watch. Learn more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Gas prices have fallen 2.8 cents per gallon over the last week. The average across the state is 2.84 today. This is over 16 cents per gallon lower than a month ago and 29 cents lower than this time last year. Officials at Gas Buddy say no matter who wins the election, gas prices are likely to stay much lower than in previous years. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers lose to Detroit. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers had an early field goal, then trailed the rest of the night, losing 24-14 to the Lions at Lambeau Field. Dropped passes and penalties killed the Packers. Running back Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, man, a lot of self-inflicted wounds, a lot of momentum killers. You know, we've been getting away with a lot of it because we've been kind of masking it with the wins. But when you play a good team, man, you know, all the little things catch up to you.
The Packers now head into their bye week at 6-3 in third place behind Detroit and Minnesota in the NFC North Division. NBA, Bucks and the Cavaliers in Cleveland tonight. Bucks forward Bobby Portis says his home was broken into during Saturday night's game in Milwaukee and says several personal items were stolen. Baseball, the Brewers with two players winning Gold Glove Awards for the first time since 1979. Second baseman Bryce Turang and outfielder Sal Frelick.
It's definitely cool, a little surreal still, and I think even cooler to do it, you know, with Bryce.
That's Sal Frelick with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Cloudy and dreary today, with scattered showers on and off, alongside a breezy southwest wind gusting up to 20 miles per hour. High temperatures today will reach the low 60s and overnight fall to near 50. But by tomorrow, we'll be waking up to patchy fog and that rain ramping up. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 60 degrees at our studios.
Good afternoon, Wisconsin. Welcome to WFHR's Playmakers. Welcome to the show. Good afternoon, everybody. You have your host, James J. Maloff, here behind the microphone. Thank you so much for joining us. I am joined by our good friend, Randy Paul.
2 weeks in a row, James.
That's awesome.
Put
That's
it on
great.
The calendar, right?
Yes, absolutely. Can't get enough of it. We want to start off the show by thanking our great friends over at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Head on over to A Street South for all your printing needs. Head on over there and let them know how much we appreciate them. Buy local, support local, everybody. And we are going to get into some local today. Randy's got some high school stats for us. We'll talk a little Packers, Badgers, get into some River Kings conversation as well. And we have the phone lines open for you as well. 715-424-2600. But Randy, let's go ahead and introduce our friend here, our guest we got coming in today, talking a little bit about the Sports Commission.
Yeah, I don't think you could have said any better. Our friend and our guest, Kenny Porter, with us today, well known throughout the community, and we're so happy to have you here, Kenny, today. Thank you for coming.
Gentlemen, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about the Sports Commission and our upcoming MVP night.
Yeah, maybe you can start off by telling us a little bit about when that's going to occur and some of the details.
You bet. The MVP night for this year, 2024, will be happening this coming Thursday, November 7th. It'll be held at Bullseye Country Club, and it'll basically be from 6 till 9.
That's interesting.
PM, that is.
Right. And for those of you who don't know where Bullseye Country Club is, of course, it's just off of Pepper, down the street there at the end of the road. And
correct. One of our well-known golf courses in the area, which we are blessed with, of course.
Yes. They along with Tri-City, they kind of share the area out there. And so as you take a look at the MVP night, can you tell us a little bit of the details, how that's going to start off and where it's going to progress from there?
You bet. Normally, we've had simply an MVP night in past years. Over the more recent years, we've allowed the nominees to also speak. And that became a really cool thing. You get to know a lot more about the people. You get to know about a lot more about sports in the area. And so our current committee got to thinking, well, let's add on to this. So this year, for the first year, not only will we have the MVP award, but we will have a Rookie of the Year award, which is an award for a group, a person, something that's happening in the area that's relatively new. And we're also adding a Lifetime Achievement Award. And along with the Lifetime Achievement Award, it's come up a couple different ways recently. I had a friend say that he had visited his Marshfield to watch his uncle be put into the Marshfield Area Sports Hall of Fame. We got to thinking, golly gee, we should have one of those around here too. So we are going to establish, this will be the first night of it, we'll be establishing a Wisconsin Rapids Area Sports Hall of Fame on that same night.
How exciting is that? And, you know, as you say that, what comes to mind are the multitude of people that would be just perfect fits for such a thing.
Absolutely, and a wide variety. I'll tell you who the winners are for this year before we leave, the microphones here. But just think of one that's near and dear to us, our friend here at the station, Terry Stake. You know, what Terry did for sports in the area, promoting it. And he was one of the charter members of our sports commission. So, but many names like that. John Bingham comes to mind, soccer coach extraordinaire, also part of the sports commission, and just a number of people like that. The friend I was talking to was, I can mention names, right? Was Tim Uttermark. Tim's dad, Jack, ran the Wisconsin Rapids men's softball for many, many years. And that's near and dear to the sports commission because not only was that good for the quality of life in our community, which many of the sports organizations are, but the events are, but also the tourism dollars that brought in for a number of years. So a lot of people like that we have to thank.
You know, it's interesting, too. I was just having to think about that because we live very close to the high school now, and the Ridges is just down the road. And I was just thinking, we had cars just parked all over the streets and the areas down there. And I was thinking, just think what that cross country does for this community.
That's a hidden treasure. I hope the community realizes that. One thing that I do profess, that both the gymnastics event that we hold here and the cross country meet are held at a high school venue. Most of the state events are not held at high school venues. So that's a definite benefit to our community, both in tourism dollars, quality of life, opportunity for our kids and families. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, you know, there's been several times we've had sectional games being held over at Lincoln High School as well, and they also have the 8-man state championships there. So that's just another one of those brings in revenue that people don't always think about.
And we haven't even mentioned the largest water ski show tournament in the world happens here. We have quite a history of bringing sports to this area, being in central Wisconsin. And this is before even having the sports complex that we have now, which is only going to increase that.
And I think about, too, how we've often talked about just the fact that we're blessed to have the Rafters and the River Kings both in a community our size, basically.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. And that brings up a little bit of a story. The origin of the MVP award basically was our organization, the Sports Commission, saying, how can we thank Liz Kern, the original, the first manager of the Rafters, for all she's doing for our community and for being here as part of our sports sports events and sports community? So that was our original MVP award winner. And when we realized how well it was received by her and the community, it just took off from there. And we've been kind of giving out the award for a number of years.
One of the things that you mentioned a little bit to me and James off air was the fact that when you sit in these meetings and listen to people talk about sports, you think you know a lot about sports, and then you sit in the meetings.
Exactly. Randy, you couldn't have said it better. People like Lynn and Lynn Swanson and her husband, Tri-City Curling. I mean, I wasn't a curler, but the tournaments they brought to town, the people that were involved in that, just wonderful people. They were big promoters of the Sports Commission, but mostly they just brought a lot of stuff, you know, that I wasn't aware of. One of the years, one of the nominees was Ken Hilgers, who runs the boxing here in town. Yeah. I mean, I wasn't a boxer, so I didn't realize that much about it. But when I listened to his life and his career, I mean, those stories are precious, which is why I'm glad we're expanding our awards so that we can get more people involved.
And I know boxing is near and dear to your heart, James, because of your family involvement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was great to see some it's great to hear you mention that as well, and it covers another area of this where the sports we've all mentioned, and there's so many other sports that we don't get a chance to cover that have such a glorious history around here, too. The Sports Commission does such a nice job of being able to not only highlight these things that we don't always get a chance to, but also, I think, give us an understanding of them and only increasing especially you mentioned something like curling. We just had the curling club in last week on Midday Magazine and talking about keeping that sport alive with younger generations. So much of this is that too. And I think the Sports Commission in many ways as well gives us a reminder of what this is all about. We get kind of caught up in winning. We get caught up in stats and some of these other things. While the economic impact that sports has is certainly known and felt and noteworthy, sports is always going to be about the people. Sports is always going to come down to community, to people, to us getting together, to oftentimes strangers sitting next to each other and cheering for the same thing, and so much of that. It brings us back to that sometimes. It's part of what I'm so proud of with the Sports Commission that we have.
You know, I think of that so often if we're at a Packer game. You think how you have these communities going against each other, whether it's like a Kaukauna Kimberly or if it's a Rapids and Spash, right? But then you're all at the Packer game and suddenly you're all the same team,
yep,
right?
Yep.
And it's the same thing with this, right? You got all these variety of sports, and yet we're all the same team here in Rapids.
Well said, gentlemen. One of the other things that the Sports Commission takes pride in is that we are a place to go, a meeting to come to, where we can lend some comfort. Mm-hmm. People starting out a new event, you know, where do I go? How do I do this? Or gentlemen like Bob Atkinson from Nakusa, who ran a great golf tournament and was very big in sports in Nakusa, softball, baseball, football, even basketball, I think he coached too. But even though he ran such great tournaments and was so good at it, he still would come to us because we could do things like help write an RFP, a request for proposal for a certain tournament, mm-hmm. or just share ideas with him. Some of the organizations need bleachers. Well, we'd go to Maggie Molesky with the water ski show, and she would share some bleachers for perhaps BMX or whatever, mm-hmm. which is another – BMX is another great thing in our community that kind of sort of came out of nowhere. And I will touch on one other thing. And, James, you mentioned it. We are central here. Mm-hmm. And that's one thing that we hear from all the people that want to come to this area. Boy, you're central. This is a great place to have it. But the other thing we've always had is a sound, fantastic base of volunteers. Mm-hmm. We could invite these people in, and our volunteers were always there to put on a good show.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny, though? You mentioned all the variety of sports that come into this area. You mentioned the water ski show. What a huge event that is. Never even, there's so many things that we take for granted, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was just going to build off of that and ask you, talk about the event on Thursday.
Yes.
Could you talk a little bit about, it's going to kick off at 6 o'clock and then just follow through a little bit what the program will follow?
Absolutely. We're going to have a bit of a cocktail hour, starting at 6 o'clock. That'll run for about an hour. We're doing heavy hors d'oeuvres. Mm. We thought it's better for networking rather than a sit-down meal where you're kind of confined to a table. Let's all mill around and network a little bit. I want to thank the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters. I'll bring them up again. They are sponsoring our bar, which should be a good thing for Central Wisconsinites. we're doing that, and then we'll have the program. I'll mention our winners because we already some years we wait and make that a surprise, but because of the new format, we wanted to announce our winners early. The MVP award winner is Paul Peckman.
From
the River Kings. The Rookie of the Year award winner is Dave Kuntz, the coach of the Kraken, which is a great story. You know, the swim club, swim team.
Yeah.
He's been here for a couple of years now. I think eventually Dave will win the Lifetime Achievement, too, because he's been doing this for 30 years, and his resume is spectacular. And then our Lifetime Achievement Award winner will be Bob Galletta,
the
retiring baseball coach from Lincoln High School. So another quality person in the area.
Yes. So all three great all great candidates, all great people.
How does that process happen, the choosing of these folks?
We solicit nominations. The nominations come in, and we have a committee formed, and then the committee goes over them and basically makes the choice, you know, based on what we're seeing. This year, because of the new format, we didn't have a huge number of nominees, so it was relatively simple. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I don't think we've missed on any of these.
No.
So we've got some pretty good choices there. And the other thing I will mention, in regard to the Hall of Fame, the Hall of Fame is going to start. We're going to start out by inducting all of the previous MVP winners into the Hall of Fame, so that we don't just have an empty, you know, one person in there or whatever.
Sure.
And by the way, there won't be a gold jacket or.
Interesting. Okay.
And due to budget, we won't be able to do a bust for
everybody. Won't be a tradition unlike any other, right?
But we think it's going to be a cool thing to induct all the MVP award winners from the past.
That is great.
And so I think we're off to a good start.
Looking forward to that, and looking forward to the event. Plan on being there, and also looking forward to maybe even in 2025, you guys having a category for hosts of sports shows in the area that are on from 5 to 6 Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. just spitballing off the top of my head.
What a great idea!
It's not bad.
I love that category. It's a little long, but I love it.
It's a long category. It's a very specific category, and somehow I'll still lose.
Except in that category, we're not going to let you make a speech.
That's a good idea. It's probably a good idea. Ken, thank you so much. Before we wrap up, I did want to people out there that are listening to know, if people want to volunteer, if they'd like to be a part of the Sports Commission in any other way, or just learn more about this, is there a way to contact you or somebody to contact for that information?
Sure. I don't have all the letters in front of me or the acronyms, but just Google Wisconsin Rapids Area Sports Commission or the Wisconsin Rapids Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, because I did not mention that, but the Sports Commission is a branch of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, sort of guided by them. Or just go to visitwisrapids.com.
Yeah. Thank you for that, Ken. I do appreciate it. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Yeah, looking forward to Thursday night. That should be an awesome evening.
They've been going well, and I think we're going to continue that process.
Yeah, wonderful. Yeah, looking forward to it. Thanks again, Ken. Well, Randy and I will be back with more Playmakers here on WFHR, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out right here in Wisconsin Rapids.
The best part about the holidays are the cards.
Oh, joy. Another person sent me the same card. Oh, hey, honey, look. It's from your mom and dad. Isn't this a picture from our honeymoon 2 years ago?
Oh, I think it is. Look how they made it a Christmas card.
Maybe we could do that. I'm tired of having the same ones every year. And these are funny.
I'll call Phil and the team at Quality Plus Printing and have them make us something great. We can even get matching ugly sweaters.
I'll skip the sweaters. Can we use my giant bass pick?
Quality Plus Printing for all your holiday needs.
Wisconsin has many state symbols, but did you know there's an official ballad?
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams.
Oh, Wisconsin, land of my dreams, composed by Sherry Sarazin.
I don't think it was an hour, and I had the music matched up.
With long ago help from her grandmother.
She wrote a poem in the late 1920s about where she lived in Wisconsin.
And it's now the state ballad. So are these also official Wisconsin symbols? The Kringle, Wood Violet, American Water Spaniel? The answer coming up. The official process could take years and includes advocating the legislature to make it law. Now, along with the official ballad, are the Kringle, Wood Violet, and American Water Spaniel also state symbols? Yes, each is a celebration of the state and a slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Here's some good news. Community Stories starts on November 12th. It'll air on WFHR on Tuesdays from 5 to 6 with me, your host, Melissa Kay.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight with showers pushing back into the area later on. Temps gradually fall through the 50s tonight and stay there tomorrow with clouds and on and off periods of rain. Clearing out for Wednesday. Highs near 50 and with more sun Thursday, highs low 50s. It's 60 right now.
Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Randy and James here with you. Thank you so much for joining us. Phone lines are wide open, 715-424-2600. Hit them in the numbers. Phone lines wide open. We thank our friends not only at Quality Plus Printing for joining us and giving us the hour here to hang out with all of you, but want to thank Ken, of course, from the Sports Commission for joining us. That was great.
Yeah, it's always fun to have guests in. You know, we always are blessed to have people in from the community, and we so grateful to have them come join us. And Kenny, just great guy and just a wealth of knowledge, and I'm sure he would appreciate seeing as many people out there to join in on the festivities on Thursday.
We do appreciate that. We'll be talking about the event coming up, not only on our morning show, but here on Playmakers, reminding everybody about it and encouraging you to get tickets. Do want to do something as well. I didn't get a chance to in the interview, but Ken did a great job covering the bases. A big thank you to Meredith Kleckler and our friends over at Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau. Wonderful people over there. You're not going to meet many better people than Meredith and the gang over there. They do such a great job promoting this community.
Yeah, isn't that true? You know, just like we were saying with all the different activities that come into town, the different sporting events, and we're just like, oh yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, that's how you do it, you know, because there's so many that we just, not like we take them for granted, but it's almost like you forget.
Yeah. You get so caught up in these things, and mm-hmm. there's so much going on, it's hard to keep up with. This is why I have no doubt in my mind that if Meredith played baseball, she was great at covering bases. Like, she was always like an outfielder. She was always covered second or third for people. She was. We will talk a little baseball. We get a chance here, Randy. There has been a little bit of hot stove news. I'm going to save this one for Friday. I've got actually a couple of interesting things about not only hot stove news, but in general, the hot stove time of year. I want to talk about the history of that a little bit in baseball and everything. If we have a chance, we'll get into that. I do also want to talk some River Kings with you. Great weekend for the River Kings and River Kings fans out there. College and pro football, the schedules this weekend. Not too much meat on the bone there, so we'll see what we get into. Maybe we'll get into it more on Wednesday's show. But I do want to talk a little bit about the Green Bay Packers and my stat of the show. And my stat of the show is 25. That is how many career starts Jordan Love has had. 25 career starts. Like, pretty small drop in the bucket for anybody if we are going to take a step back or get in a time machine 10 years down the line at the end of this young man's career, hopefully all of them in Green Bay and done well. Right. A pretty small sample size right now. Right. I don't blame Green Bay fans here. I understand it. I understand it better than you can know, because you guys have had two great quarterbacks back-to-back in 20 years of great quarterbacking, where no matter what the offseason, every offseason you went into in the last 20-some years, you had some inkling of, well, we have a chance.
Right.
No matter what, you had a chance because you had that guy. You had number four or you had number eight or what have you. What is going on right now is different. It's new. You've got an established, you feel you've got a good quarterback, but it's built on potential. And whereas your memory of these other quarterbacks is, well, I've seen them win playoff games. I've seen them make game-winning drives, some of that. So that's some of the concern there, I imagine, with Jordan Love, along with some of the injuries that have piled up in 25 starts. I understand all that stuff, and at the same time, I'm very impressed with a lot of the Green Bay fan out there that is not like panicking or freaking out or anything like that. What I will say, and I'm a little disappointed that I haven't heard more of, is any critiquing of him that doesn't involve also Matt LaFleur. Mm. Like, you cannot separate these two. These two are attached at the hip. This is Montana and Walsh. These guys are attached to each other. And if you're going to get compliment one, you got to compliment the other. And if you're going to critique one, you got to critique the other. Because you may say, well, it's not Matt LaFleur throwing these interceptions and making these bad decisions. But it is the coach's job to coach that out of him before he hits that field. And it is the coach's job to assess this player in 4 to 5 practices and 4 to 5 days building up to the game. And what is the best thing that is going to help my team win? Not who's got the bigger contract, not who has proven themselves or anything like that. None of that matters. Week to week, that's what football is. And this week, who gives me the best chance to beat Detroit in Green Bay? I get one shot this year at it. Who gives me the best chance? And if you are Matt LaFleur in that game, coming into that game and during that game, I don't know how you make that decision. I don't know what part of your brain thinks that that was the right call. Matt LaFleur knows more about football than I'll ever know, and much smarter and handsomer than I'll ever be. Apparently spends $100 a week on that, according to Tom Brady. I don't know about that, but I thought that was an interesting thing to take from the conversation right. from Matt LaFleur. But if you are making that decision and you don't think Malik Willis, who has proven to you already, it's not Malik Willis coming over from Tennessee 2 days ago. This is Malik Willis who has proven himself and proven himself to that locker room. That's my focus is, okay, but why isn't this been coached out of him yet? And why was this the decision? And why, if you think you're still in that game, are you going for a field goal when you need more, at least two scores to get back into this game? Why are you going? Why are you not every down? Like it's four down territory. Go. Like you're not in the red zone, but you're right next to the red zone. It's four down territory. You're down by two touchdowns. Why are you going for field goals? And why is he out there when the game is out of hand? Why is he still playing with a injury that we all know needs the only thing that heals it is time? Like, what are you doing as a coach? I don't understand any of those decisions at all. Again, this guy knows a lot more than I do, and I'm sure that he has defenses to these and answers to these questions. But in real time, like going during the game and everything, why you don't, all right, Malik, warm up. Like, we saw him warming up. Mm-hmm. Like, why you don't, in the first drive, you saw he could not handle that ball. He could not handle the conditions. I don't know if Malik Willis could, but I'd like to have seen try. I'd like to see and find out. Jared Goff was playing with the same conditions as he was, and Jared Goff seemed to have no problems whatsoever. Jared Goff seemed to be playing in Hawaii. Like he seemed to have no issues with the conditions. You've got your window. As soon as Jordan Love signed that contract, that window like sped up a ton. All right, it's now, winning now, winning next year, winning the next year after that. Like, this is what it's all about. Every game counts. I don't understand the thought process of not going in there with the best team to win, and the best team to win, especially, it's easy. I was saying this last week, so I'm not saying anything that, Captain Hindsight here or anything. I don't know how you make that decision. And I would have more critiquing of Matt LaFleur than I would of Jordan Love. Because, again, Jordan Love's throwing the picks, but it hasn't been coached out of him. That's a guy who has 25 career starts. Of course he's going to be throwing those moves and still. He's a young quarterback. He's still figuring this stuff out. Peyton Manning was doing it at that age. Brett Favre was doing it at that. Brett Favre was doing it at 35. he's still doing it. He's still doing it right now. He's throwing a pick somewhere. It's on the coaching staff. Why else do we have coaches?
It was kind of interesting, going into the game. I think we talked a little bit about it off air, too. We were just saying the fact that what were the odds of beating the Lions, especially with him dinged up with that groin a little bit? You're saying, do you take a chance with Malik? It's easy in hindsight, do you bring in Malik Willis, who's played well, and maybe he could avoid some of the rush, the slippery conditions, maybe that would give him an advantage when he's scrambling. You're paying Jordan Love an awful lot of money to sit there. But then we also said, then he'd have that extra week to heal because he would have had all last week, he would have had all this week because there's a bye. So he basically would have had 3 weeks to heal up. And we're like, you want to beat the Lions at home. Like you said, there's only one chance. But then you look at the other hand and you go, it's week, what, 9? Compared to week 18 when they're in the playoffs, which you need them completely healthy, and there's no guarantee he would be. The other thing I think that you have to look at, there's so many layers to this. The very first drive, they got a field goal, right? He throws this pass to Brooks. He's wide open at the 7-yard line. He walks into the end zone. He drops the ball. Mm-hmm. They had so many drops yesterday. Guys right in the chest.
Yeah, right in the numbers.
And the Lions didn't have any drops. He was 11 for 11 to start out that game, which means his receivers were catching the ball. So that's not on him. Some of them were a little bit behind him, but these guys are getting paid to be making those kinds of catches.
Right? Oh, yeah.
I will say on the one that he threw the pick on, they showed it from behind, and he did have Tucker Kraft to the left. But when you got 300-pound guys chasing you, I think I'd be throwing it away too. Mm. And he I'm sure that if we look at a lot of the other games yesterday, there were other quarterbacks who threw silly interceptions, right? Maybe going back to the coaching part of it, you're thinking there's 30 seconds left, and yeah, they want to go down and maybe get a field goal before half because the Lions are going to get the ball back. But if something does go wrong, and then the Lions do get a pick or a fumble recovery, and then they get the ball back, this could all of a sudden get out of hand. And that's what you always, you know, being the pessimistic Packer fan that we sometimes are, you're like, hey, you know, this could go bad on us. And sure enough, that happens. And you're just like, oh, no. And then they, you know, instead of being down by 7 at half, they're down by 14.
This is the other thing that stood out to me about that game. And you can lose a game, and that's okay. You know, we just said it's week 9. There's a lot of football to be played yet. We're in, the first quarter of the season, really, here. But one thing that can happen pretty quickly, I don't know if it's even possible to get a team back. You can lose that locker room. You can lose those players and their belief in you when you're making bad decisions. And when they're seeing these things, there's one person that's held accountable that they see every day. It's not the GM. It's not the owner of the team or every single one of you out there that has a sheet that tells you you're an owner of the Green Bay Packers. It is Matt LaFleur. It is their personal coaches for their position coaches in some of these things. And when guys are dropping passes, when QBs are making bad decisions, when guys are not rap tackling, when guys are not in position for red zone plays, coaching, 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 coaching. Otherwise, why aren't they out just doing it themselves?
You know,
it's got to come down. There's got to be accountability.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you can't expect these players to have accountability.
You know, it makes me think of all the false starts we had yesterday. And, you know, you think of the play with the Bears, right?
Mm.
And in the press conference after the game, coaches up there saying, we practiced this 1,000 times.
Yeah.
We got guys in front. We got guys in the middle. We got guys back there. The kid doesn't go back there, you know? It's like you can practice it 1,000 times, and if the kid doesn't do it, it's like, now you look like an idiot.
and it sucks. There's no getting around it, and that's rough. And at the same time, this is why are you in that job? Like that play, Tyreek Stevenson deserves plenty of blame and he's lucky all he got away with was losing a start. But you know who else shouldn't have started that game? Eberflus. Eberflus shouldn't have started that game because that's on him too. It's on the special teams coach. It's on the defensive coordinator. Like, it's on them too. This is your job. I'm so tired of the people passing the buck. Like, why else do you get paid millions of dollars? Like, what? One thing that bugs me about Matt LaFleur, and I would love to actually have him in front of me to talk about this, because it's not just him. This goes back to Greg Popovich or any of these other coaches. When you get hired to do this job, what is one of the things you know as a grown man? You're going to have to answer questions. And they're more than likely not going to be great questions, not going to be fun questions, not going to ask you, what is your makeup routine, Matt? You know, they're not going to be asking you, I heard Tom Brady said you spend $100 on makeup and all and making you look good and stuff. So what do you spend it on? They're not going to be asking you that. They're going to ask you hard questions. So his quote, it's really annoying being up here, though. Obviously, he's fighting, he's competing, and we know that what he's got. But I don't question anything about what he's trying to do. The whininess of some of this, and not just from him, almost every single coach in sports, specifically football for some reason, the tough guy sport, answer the questions and move on. And you know what? You don't have to smile doing it. You don't have to give him a long answer. You could be Marshawn Lynch about this. Yes. And move on. But you don't have to be a petty child. You don't have to. These are people just trying to do their job, okay? Plenty of times there have been bad questions asked. Plenty of reporters have maybe gone too far or something like that. But you don't get to be Joel Embiid. You don't get to be. This is journalism. This is part of this, and this is part of where we've gone wrong in a lot of ways, where we don't respect journalism anymore. There's a job to be done. Let them do their job so you can go back to doing yours, and you don't have to answer these silly questions anymore. Like your job is so dang important. I should be off doing something else. You're a football coach. You are not running anything. You are not running a country or anything like that. Get over yourself, answer the questions, and move on. Don't be a... You're supposed to be out, like, even though you're a professional coach, you are still helping grown men be grown men. You are oftentimes having 18, 19, 20-year-olds in your locker room. They're still looking up to people. They're still trying to learn what it is to be a grown man, what it is to be an adult. An adult acts like an adult,
An adult answers the questions and moves on. This whininess, it's annoying. Actually, part of the problem is you guys and your questions and all that. We don't let athletes get away with that stuff. Why do we let coaches? Why do we let the Belichicks and these guys get away with this stuff? It shouldn't answer the question, move on. That's your job. Like, if you don't like it, go do something else for a living. You don't have to do this for a living. We have to go to a break. We do have to do that. We'll do that. We'll come back. Randy's got some high school stats for us we want to get into. We also want to take some of your phone calls, 715-424-2600. And before I wrap up, Randy, did you see the Saquon Barkley highlight?
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. We got to talk about that.
Yeah.
We got to talk about that. It's coming up on the Playmakers here at WFHR.
The best part about the holidays are the cards.
Oh, joy. Another person sent me the same card. Oh, hey, honey, look. It's from your mom and dad. Isn't this a picture from our honeymoon 2 years ago?
Oh, I think it is. Look how they made it a Christmas card.
Maybe we could do that. I'm tired of having the same ones every year. And these are funny.
I'll call Phil and the team at Quality Plus Printing and have them make us something great. We can even get matching ugly sweaters.
I'll skip the sweaters. Can we use my giant bass pick?
Quality Plus Printing for all your holiday needs.
It's time to get out the truth about Eric Hovde. Hovde made his money the old-fashioned way. He inherited it. How can he relate or make decisions for us? Now he's the CEO of a billion-dollar bank in California and a huge landlord. With people like Eric Hovde, the rich pay less, and we pay the price. I'm not a political person. I'm a mom. I would never vote for a person like Eric Hovde.
Paid for by a Better Wisconsin Together Action, abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Do you worry about how much someone drinks? Do you feel angry or depressed most of the time? Do you feel neglected or unloved?
Do you feel that if the drinker loved you, she or he would stop drinking?
If you answered yes to any of these questions, you are not alone.
Not everyone trapped by alcohol is an alcoholic.
Families and friends are suffering too.
Al-Anon and Alateen can help.
Call 1-866-200-0223 or visit alanon.org/help.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for Election Day coverage. Wisconsin Decides 2024. We'll have all the news of Election Day as it unfolds from our election headquarters. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
More good news for you. Community Stories Junior starts November 14th. It'll air on WFHR on Thursdays from 5 to 6 with me, your host, Melissa Kay.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy sky tonight with showers pushing back into the area later on. Temps gradually fall through the 50s tonight and stay there tomorrow with clouds and on and off periods of rain. Clearing out for Wednesday. Highs near 50 and with more sun Thursday, highs low 50s. It's 60 right now.
Welcome back, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out. You need printing, you have printing needs, head on over to A Street South and let them know and let them take care of you. Buying local, supporting local, our good friends over at Quality Plus Printing. Go ahead and support them. Randy, you've got some local stats for us. It's been a while since we've been able to do this. What do you got over there?
Well, I thought we'd talk a little bit about some of the action that took place as far as high school football, just with local teams. Starting off on Friday night, level 2. A few area teams in action. Division 7, second-ranked Edgar shut out Chiocton. We're not surprised by that, right?
No, no.
37 to zip. In Division 6, number 9-ranked Bondewell beats 5th-ranked Auburndale 34-21. And then a fun one. So Nacoosa goes to Abbotsford the week before, plays a great game. They get a touchdown called back. The game would have ended up being within 7 points, so who knows how that turns out. But they didn't get it, so they end up losing by 14. We're thinking, well, you know, now you got to take this trip over to Coleman, whether it's Abbotsford or Nacoosa. Coleman is like ranked 2nd in the division. They have got 300 yards per game rushing. They had 4 games of 40 points or more. They had 2 games of 50 points or more. So basically, if it's Abbotsford, Nacoosa goes over there, it's going to be tough, right? So what happens? Halftime score? Abbotsford 6-0. Really? So now Coleman scores in the second half at 7-6. Last play of the game, Abbotsford's got a field goal to win it. And all of a sudden, everybody moves, the guy kicks it, and I just didn't have a good view of it, so I don't know if he made it or not, but they move it back 5 yards, and the moment he kicked it, Coleman started celebrating because he must have pulled it right away, so they end up losing 7-6. So, hey, kudos to Abbotsford, though, to go over to the second-ranked team in the state and be within feat of winning that game, right?
Yeah, you got to be proud of that. You got a lot to hang your head up about.
Absolutely, yeah. Division 5, number 1, Stratford. Again, that one's no surprise. They defeated Amherst 28-7. Nothing in Division 4 from the area. Over to Division 3, 6th-ranked Medford. They were 20 better than Fox Valley Lutheran, 42-22. And in Division 1, how about D.C. Everest?
Yeah. That's pretty cool to see.
Yeah, first they upset Hudson. They're the 7th seed. Now their second straight road upset this week, 45-24 over 3rd seed and 7th-ranked Madison Memorial.
It's impressive.
So, yeah, way to go, Evergreens. Huh? Mm-hmm. Well, as we were alluding to before with when Kenny Porter, our friend, was in here, we were talking about the state cross-country meet that took place right here over at the Ridges. For the boys in Division 1, Spash captured the crown for the 3rd consecutive year. As Kenny Porter said, there must be something in the water in Spash when it comes to running, that's for sure. D2, it was Kohler taking first, while in D3, Cedar Grove, Belgium. They were crowned the champions. On the girls' side in Division 1, Nina came in first. D2 saw University School of Milwaukee capturing the title. And in Division 3, Kohler was first, with the Assumption Royals finishing 4th, as Lucy Dolan took 5th place with a time of 19 minutes and 3 seconds. So congratulations to Lucy as well as the Assumption Girls cross-country team. So that's another year in the books for that as well. And well, they always do a great job over there and over at the Ridges as well. So congratulations. Again, like Kenny said, to all those volunteers that make that happen. I mean, that's just not one or two people.
Yeah. We always highlight our athletes. We talk about our coaches and hold them up. We certainly appreciate our sponsors and so many others. But none of this happens without the volunteers and without community members coming together to ref these things, or parents dragging their kids back and forth to practices all week and some of these things. So many unsung heroes out there that we're able to do this for. We're able to have fun with and thanks to.
You know, and we were talking last week a little bit about basketball be upon us before we know it. And it's like 2 weeks from tomorrow already that we'll have our first game with Nina coming to town to take on the Lincoln Red Raiders. And then I was talking to somebody about the Assumption Classic, which is not much beyond that. It's the following week, that weekend right after Thanksgiving, the 29th and 30th. And somebody was saying, yeah, it's just a blast, but those are 13-hour days. And it was one of those people who volunteers. Mm-hmm. And they said it with a smile on their face. So just that type of attitude in this community is just awesome.
A big thanks to them for that. We'll get into our schedule in a little bit here. Randy, thank you so much. It's been too long since we had a rundown like that. I appreciate it. Thank you for that. I do want to talk a little bit of and staying local here a little with our River Kings. A nice successful weekend for the Kings. Friday night, a 5-3 victory over the Steel County Blades. Nicely done by them. And then Saturday, another 5-2 victory over Steel County. It's keeping consistent. And in all seriousness, if you look at your Kings over the last, especially the last handful of games, but really going back to the first games of the season, you're going to see one consistent stat, and that is shots on goal. This team is peppering that net. They are aggressive. They are smart with that puck. But when they get an opening, and I mean a sliver of an opening, they are taking it. And that is so – it's something that instilled in winning hockey is not only peppering that net, but your players being improvers and being able to think creatively and what to do with that puck when it's coming flying at them and they're getting a deflection, because it's all about that deflection. Very seldom is that puck going to the net with the forward or the center thinking necessarily that it's going in. But it's going to get deflected, and my guy is going to be right there for that deflection to knock it in the five hole or knock it in between the legs or whatever it might be. And these shots on goal cannot be taken lightly. To see this aggression from this team, to see how hungry this team is, and that is awfully good because we are being hunted. We are the hunted now. We are not going to sneak up on anybody. Nobody is going to see that, you know. Everybody's looking at us as a team that we can build our season off of beating them. We can, hey, if we come to Rapids that next weekend or one of these, or they come to our town and we sweep them or we get a point off of them or something, we can build off that. That's which is a good place to be. It's a pretty cool place to be for us as River King fans, but it's also noteworthy that hey, you know, we're not sneaking up on anybody. It's all the more reason why these guys got to be aggressive. They've got to pepper that net. The River Kings, with the weekend, the successful weekend they had, move into second place in the North Division standings, still behind the Minnesota Mullets, who are only a couple points ahead. And boy, cannot wait for those games to take place.
You know, we've often said that, at least in my opinion, I think those people who are playing hockey are maybe some of the most talented athletes in the world. Mm-hmm. To be able to skate the way they do, stay on their feet when they get rocked, to be able to handle that puck, to knock it down, the reactions of those goalies. And then you watch the highlights maybe on SportsCenter, the top 10, and you see these guys hitting it between their legs as they're coming down full speed or passing it between their legs. I mean, they have to put it in super slow motion for you to even see it happen, right? Yeah. And then you talk about our River Kings, you know, and how this has become just such a growing, mm-hmm. you know, thing with their team, and kudos to Coach Paul, right?
Yeah.
And how I'm so glad to hear that Kenny was talking about that. He's going to be honored as well on Thursday.
That's pretty
night.
Cool.
Yeah. And what's he only here, right? His third year now?
Yeah. And they built such a foundation here already. When I say that, I don't mean just as the GM or head coach of the River Kings. I just mean that him in this area, like mm-hmm. that just as a person, even what he has added to this area, let alone all that he's done as a GM and head coach. In that.
And to build off.
And scout, really, should mention too.
Yeah. And to build off what you said earlier with the Packers, how, you know, they got these young men that they're training to be men. And that's the other thing that coach does as well. And he talks about it all the time. You know, got to get out in the community. You know, it's about more than just you. And building these people, these young people, to mm-hmm. become, you know, future leaders in our country. Mm-hmm.
Kings are back in action on the 7th. They're taking on the Dells, taking on the Ducks there. And then back home at the South Blue County Rec Center this Friday and Saturday, everybody. Join us as we help the boys of Winter build hockey up and down the river. 7 o'clock puck drop as the Kings back at home at the South Blue County Rec Center taking on the Northwest Express. Get to the ice rink if you can. Show them what home ice advantage is. If you can't, we got you covered. Yeah. We'll have these games over on WIRI with our friend Michael.
And Seth doing a great job also.
Yes.
Back at the studios.
Mm-hmm.
You bet.
We appreciate being able to bring these games to you, everybody, as well. A big thank you to our sponsors mm-hmm. and everybody that helps with that. Obviously, Mike and Seth, but certainly so many other people working so hard on this. It feels so good to have these games on the airwaves for you and everything. Be sure to join us this weekend on our sister station, 105.5 WIRI, River Kings Hockey. Oh, God, it feels good. NHL is in play, Randy. It's so much fun. And there have been, I would say, almost every weekend, it seems like, well, that was one of the greatest catches I'll ever see. And as a former receiver, I love being able to talk about these Garrett Wilson one-handed catches that are just insane. And, you know, while we could get into, you know, the gloves nowadays or some of these things, it can't be made lightly of what we're seeing in real time and the renaissance of the wide receiver and the renaissance of actually playing the position right and ripping the ball out of the sky and running your route and blocking and being a three down back as a wide receiver. So many of these things that we're seeing in Deebo Samuel or Cooper Kupp or some of these full complete wide receivers. All of that being said, Saquon Barkley did something that completely, I don't know how to talk about anything other than that. If you have not seen the play, everybody.
We can't do it justice.
We can't. No. Kevin Harlan, I don't think could. No. He's the best. He's the best. I love him. But Saquon Barkley, so he takes this pitch out and he's running, and he actually has a wonderful move before that, a spin move. And then he has the thought in his head to not just, like, hurdle a guy, but hurdle him backwards because of the spin momentum he has. And he does it in reverse. Like, he doesn't even go with the complete momentum of the spin. He goes in the opposite way to basically do something that you can't even do in a video game. Like, there are programmers out there that are like, okay, we got to update the system because we got to add that now.
And he's jumping because the guy's going low.
Yeah.
But as he jumps, the guy starts standing up. And yet he has still elevated himself so high that he is able to get over the person backwards.
So, you know, at this point in the season, we just got done saying that, you know, Green Bay has got a whole season ahead of them and everything, that there's nothing necessarily to, you know, worry that much about and everything. Yeah. At the same time, on the other end of my mouth, I will tell you that there are certain things that I feel very comfortable in my takes of the show and my hot takes and everything. And one of them is being, one, we don't have to talk about the Dallas Cowboys anymore. We are done. We can officially, unless you are a Dallas Cowboy fan and you are in physically in the state of Texas, that's a whole different story. Outside of that, the rest of us as a country, as a football fan base, we can all take a breath. Thank you, Mike McCarthy, and to the Dallas Cowboys. We are done with you.
And they're 3-5, and they lost Dax for multiple weeks.
Yeah, yeah. They were done before the season even got started, but now we can officially say they are out of playoff. Now, they're not really. I know statistically they're not, but they are. They are. And we could stop talking about them.
And I think people felt that way after the playoff loss last year.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt that way when Mike McCarthy decided to put Ezekiel Elliott out there with two offensive linemen and just take a wallop for no reason. I love the lack of accountability out of that guy, where every time there's something goes wrong and it's the players. They was in the wrong position. Well, maybe that might come down to coaching. I don't know. Maybe Mike needs a better assistant coach. I don't know what it is. But I feel that's one of the hot takes we can have right there with that. And I will say, too, I don't believe that as far as talking about coaches and accountability, Philadelphia is starting to win some games, playing okay. That is not a team that is going to win a Super Bowl. You can go ahead and play this back to me and over again. Never take anything I say seriously again because of this take. I will stand on a hill and die on this. There is no way that team or that coach is winning a Super Bowl. That man lost that locker room, and they are playing for each other right now. I don't believe that. I don't believe he's got that job next year. I would think he has more of a likelihood of being fired than most coaches right now. I don't see that happening. They can keep winning games, but it's a whole different story when they get to the playoffs and they got to fight for each other. They got to fight for their coach. They got to fight for their city, some of these things. I don't know if that team is made that way, at least coached that way.
And it's kind of interesting because they only beat the Jags by 5, right?
Yeah. I'm not impressed with that team at all.
And you know, it's interesting because that's what happened to Robert Saleh, right? They were if they won the next week, they'd have been in first place, I believe, with the Jets.
Yeah.
And they fire him. So, I mean, you could win, you can be in first place, and that's not a guarantee either.
I think that there's a couple of other ones, too, that stand out to me. But there's one other thing I want to make sure to mention before we go to our, get too far along here and everything. So Vanderbilt beat Auburn over the weekend. And why are we talking about this in Central Wisconsin? Because it's pretty darn amazing, and it's something that has helped them complete something that they have not done since 1955, where that is the last time Vanderbilt beat Alabama and Auburn in the same year.
Wow.
That's noteworthy for two reasons, I think. One, wow, since 1955, that's quite a long stretch of time and everything. And second, wow, they did this before? Okay, I didn't even know they'd done it once. I thought that's pretty impressive. Way to go, Vandy.
Yeah, I was thinking beating Alabama in a year.
Yeah.
I can't recall when they beat them, how long it's been since they beat them, but that's crazy.
And it's part of what I'm enjoying about college football right now is for our whole lifetimes, every year there's really only two to three legitimate teams that could win the whole thing. And right now, while it is the Wild West and they need to get that figured out quick before they kill this game that we love, it has opened up the lanes for other teams. It has opened it up for more parity in college football, for more of these players where instead of sitting 3 years in Alabama and not seeing any playing time, I'm going to take my talent, go over here, and actually start playing a little bit and get some experience, and I'm able to maybe help this team that nobody saw coming play and do some good football. I think that's pretty interesting. I think that's pretty cool. And one thing that I think is really good if you're a college football fan, we're going to get rid of some of the fat. We're going to be cutting off some of the fat in the coaching system. For a long time, college football coaches have just basically been going to city. I'm Jerry Kill, and I'm going to take a job in DeKalb, Illinois. They want me in Minnesota? I'm going to take that job. Oh, they want me over here? I'm going to take that job. And just keep moving around place to place because it's lazy. They don't look that hard into hiring a new coach. There's a lot of universities, there's a lot of coaching jobs, and they just do, well, this guy's got experience, we'll bring him in. Well, so many of these coaches cannot hang with NIL. So many of these coaches cannot adapt to the modern way of college football.
And I was going to ask you that question. You know, when Tony Bennett left, you know, he had just signed a contract, I think it was through like 2029.
Yeah.
Just like earlier in the year. Mm-hmm. And it's like, wow, if he can't put up with this transfer portal, do you think that's going to make it tougher and tougher? Because, you know, you recruit people, and then it's like they commit. Badgers have had guys commit, and they just decommitted again now. how long can you stay in that position trying, you know, recruiting had to be tough enough, but now knowing it's one and done, or maybe they don't even stay, you know, for the full year.
I hear you. And I empathize with anybody in that position, especially if you've done it so long in a certain way and been successful in that certain way. And I don't know Mr. Bennett's personal situation or how much that might have played into it or anything. And I don't feel one bit sorry for him. I don't feel one bit sorry for him or Nick Saban or any of these coaches. You're a coach. You plan all week your offense to do this, your defense to do that. What happens? You get in the game. Something happens. And you got to adapt. And you got to change in real time because that's your job. And so you make adjustments and your team goes out there. And if you did your job, you're going to go and win that game because you made adjustments. That's life. You're teaching life skills to these young men. What did you just do, Tony Bennett? You just had a bunch of young men that you recruited to Virginia to come play in Virginia. Not a darn one of them are from Virginia. You brought all these young men in. You're ready to go. College football, let's go. A college basketball, let's go. Season's right around the corner. And you decide to quit. You quit on them. There's no getting around it. Outside of health issues or anything like that, you quit on that team. You quit on those players. You're the only one in that university. You're the one of the highest paid people in that state, let alone the highest in that locker room. And you decided to quit on that team. I am not going to feel sorry for anybody in that position. Adapt. Get better at it. How much do you love the coach? How much do you love this sport? I understand it's crazy. I understand it's the Wild West. That's everybody's fault. It should have been fixed a long time ago. We're in real time trying to fix this. We are on the boat that is leaking trying to fix it on the water. We understand this. You understand this as a grown man who has won a championship. You know full well, better than I do, what this is. And you know better than I do what you just did to that team, what you just did to those young men. You just showed them it's okay to quit. You just showed them that it's all right to stop, to not treat this as relentless as you're supposed to be. I got no empathy for that. I got no sympathy for that. I find that as appalling as I do when a coach recruits these players in and 2 minutes later is leaving for a better job. That's not teaching a person to be a grown adult. That's looking for scapegoats or what's the easy way out. The tough thing would have been to stick out the season and to finish the season at least and then leave or what have you. Not get right up to the finish line and be like, I can't do this. That's not a good, that's what a child, we would shred a player for that. We would destroy a player for that. I'm going to let a coach get away with it. A grown man get away with that. You got to be better. You got to be better. You got to adapt. I hear a lot of crying about NIL. I don't hear enough talk about that. I don't hear enough people holding grown men responsible for being grown men. Like, come on. You're paid to do a job. And speaking of that, the UL Monroe's coach, the assistant coach who just had a complete breakdown on the sidelines this weekend and basically whipping a player around and everything. Like, that guy still has his job today. I was waiting. I was even waiting until the last segment to bring this up in hopes that he would have been fired by now. He's not. I'm sure he'll have some little disciplinary thing or something like that. Like, the people that are making these decisions, apparently they need to be reminded. We're hiring young men and women to bring into these universities. And part of the job is to raise them to be good people, to make good decisions. We're letting them be coached by these people, by grown babies? Like, come on. Like, there's no set of talent in the world that is worth putting up with that. There's nobody who should get away with that. There needs to be some accountability with these things. We would expect it from the players. We should have it from the coaching staffs, too. It does look like the Brewers made a handful of moves kind of in the quiet of night. doesn't look like they are going to be bringing Devin Williams back. That looks like that is done. That era is over. And it does look like they are going to be having some new coaching positions in Milwaukee as well.
Did they say something about Colin Ray, too? Maybe I saw something that they might not be bringing him back as well.
I saw that in the same article that I saw that they are there's a couple of players, like Royce Hawkins that is supposed to be sticking around. Yeah. There's a couple players that are. But it does look like they're making some moves. And from what I'm hearing, they're making these moves because they are planning on making a big move. They are hoping to free up some room. This is not them trying to like, okay, well, we had our chance, we're done. It looks like this is a team that, hey, we've got some momentum here. we're looking to make some moves. They've still got to have the other person want to sign and all those things, but it does look like they're freeing up the room to be able to make some big moves. And Wednesday's Playmakers, I'd like to talk a little bit more about this to the Brewer fans out there. How you're feeling about this? Because I think the big question mark for the Brewers going into the offseason wasn't so much will they sign this guy or that guy specifically, but will they do something? You know, open up the checkbook. Just do something. You know, you got a competitive team. You've proven that you can win this division. You've seen a wild card team can win this the whole thing. Like, now it's time to go.
I think they're going to have a qualifying offer maybe for Adamas, and
yes,
then he's going to have to decide by, I don't know, November 19th or something. So they were talking about doing that. And I think it had to be done by maybe today even.
I think today, yes. Yeah. And I have not seen anything about but that, so I'm guessing.
They don't think he's going to take it, though.
Yeah, and that might be, and I like the kid. I like what he does for the team and everything. You got a shortstop there of your future already, and you've got enough infield help, I would say. If he was a pitcher, it might be a little bit different, but given the position he is and the money he's going to want, let Baltimore, let somebody else pay him. You know, I think that, you know, that you've got enough on your plate as it is in Milwaukee, and you're going to have guys that you're going to have to pay eventually. It's part of why they paid Jackson early.
And maybe that's why they... there's talk about trading Devin Williams so they get something in return.
Yes,
for him too, so.
Yeah. I don't think that's a bad move. I think that's brilliant. Randy, great show. Thank you.
Good to be in here.
And thanks to Ken for joining.